You don't have to be a preacher or a church planner for to have a relationship with God through prayer. I mean, do you realize God doesn't just answer prayers of preachers? You know that, right? God answers prayers of any of His children. God wants to answer our prayers, okay? But there is a formula for prayer in the Bible, okay? And if you want God to answer it, you got to do it God's way. Last time I was here a couple weeks ago, we talked about the blessings of prayer. And this morning, I want to give you some secrets of effective prayer. Okay? And I say secrets, they're not secret as in, you know, we don't know what they are. They're secrets as in, you know what, they're in the Bible, but most Christians don't apply what the Bible says to their prayer life. Okay? And you know what, the Bible has a blueprint for us. And God tells for us, if we want to have successful prayer, what we've got to do that. So I want to share those with you this morning. Alright, so let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I'll give you some secrets of an effective prayer life. Now, we understand this, that prayer simply means to ask. Okay, that's what it means. That's what the word pray means. It means asking. And God is the one that has commanded us to pray, to ask. And you say, well, why does God do that? Well, you know, I don't claim to know everything about God, but you know what I have learned about the Lord is that God wants us to be dependent upon Him. God wants us in every facet of our lives to declare and to let Him know that we need Him. In fact, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Alright? And so prayer is our phone line to God, if you want to think of it that way. Remember what I told you Brother Mattingly used to say, Brother Lonnie Mattingly? Prayer is kind of like picking up the phone and calling and talking to God in the morning, and all throughout the day you just leave the phone off the hook. Alright? And prayer is such, and I don't think we understand the importance of prayer. I've been reading a little bit through Dr. Rice's book, Prayer, Asking, Receiving, and just reminding myself about some things. And I'll tell you, prayer is such a wonderful thing. Alright? And let me just say this, you know what? We come to God because we need things from Him. Okay, and by the way, that's not selfish to say, alright? I mean, God ought to be, we learned this last time I taught about prayer. God ought to be our very first place we go to in our time of need. He ought to be the first one, okay? So God invites us to come to Him. God's the one that set up this thing about prayer. God wants us to ask Him for some things, okay? But before we actually get to the asking part, okay, there's a phrase that the old-time preachers used to say. It was this, we need to get on praying ground, okay? And that means this, we need to make sure before we begin asking God that there's some certain things that are met in order for us to do that, okay? And because, listen, we want to ask God some things, and we want God to answer what we ask Him and to help us with those things, but there's certain things in our life we got to make sure is right first, okay? So, 7 secrets to effective prayer. All right, number one is this, all right? I'll give it to you, then we'll read the verse we just turned to. Number one is this, go to prayer believing. Go to prayer believing. All right? Believe that, you know why? That God is both able and willing to answer your prayer. All right? You say, well, what's the importance of that? I mean, you know, believing. Listen, I can't stress to you enough the importance of faith. Okay, listen, God could have appeared to us any way He wanted to in this church age we're living. Okay, He could have done it the way He did it in the Old Testament, actually appeared to people, appeared to them in their dreams and visions if He would have wanted to. But let me tell you something, God has asked us to live our Christian lives by faith. Okay, and so listen, faith, it goes hand in hand, so we must go to God believing. All right, let's look at the verse we turn to, Matthew 21:22. Listen to what it says. Jesus says, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, here it is, you ready? Believing, ye shall receive. Did you hear what Jesus said? All things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Why do I know, why do I feel so confident about God giving us this piece of property? I'll tell you why. You know why? Because I believe He can do it. I just believe that what God can do, what I've asked Him to do. I believe it. I do. Hey, it's in my heart. I feel it. I know it. I believe it. James tells us this. You don't have to turn there, but let me read this to you. But let him, speaking of prayer, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So did you hear the instruction there? James was teaching? Hey, if you're going to go to God and you're going to ask, you've got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. He says this, you just got to go to God and believe that He can answer your prayer. And let me say this, Christian, we have a prayer hearing and answering God. Yes, we do. And you know what? I don't have to see God with my physical eyes to know that He's real. You know why? Because I've seen His hand move in my life. That's how. Because I've seen God answer prayers in my life. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And listen, I know, I believe that God can hear and answer our prayer. It's very important to God that we come in strong faith, confident He is able to do what we ask Him. Let me encourage you, Christian, believe God. Believe God. Believe in Him and believe in His ability to do what we ask of Him. Believe it. All right? Listen, there is a God in heaven. I don't care what the atheists say. I don't care what the agnostics say. I don't care what the humanists say. Listen, there is a God in heaven. He does hear and answer prayer, but you got to believe. You got to believe. Here's what George Mueller said. By the way, George Mueller, that great person that God used, that great man of God, to build those children's orphanages and reach all those young people and help them. He was a great man of prayer. You ought to read his biography. It's a great book. Here's what George Mueller said. I hope in God, I pray on, and look yet for the answer. They are not converted yet, but they will be. And you know what George Mueller was saying by that quote? He was saying this, you know what? I believe that God can use me to accomplish His will. I believe God can answer prayer, is what George Mueller was saying. The stories go, there was times where he would have all these young people gathered together in this orphanage, and it would be breakfast time, and there was no food to feed them. Yet they would sit, and George Mueller would lead them in prayer and thank God for the food when there was no food. And by the time his prayer was ended, a knock was on the door, and people would deliver groceries to feed the hungry orphans. And listen, if God can do it for George Mueller, the Bible tells me He's no respecter of persons, and He can do it for you, and He can do it for me. Amen. Yes, He can. Go believing. Do you have a believing attitude when it comes toward God? Or has the devil sowed seeds of doubt in your heart? Now, He's good about that. Yes, He is. The devil's good at making us doubt. I mean, he wants us to doubt that the Bible's real. He wants us to doubt that God's real. He wants us to doubt that prayer's not that effective. That's what the devil wants. That's not what God wants. Amen? So the first secret to effective prayer is this. You must go believing. All right? Number two is this. You got to go clean. You got to go clean. Now, when I say clean, we're not talking about, well, I can only pray after I take a shower, okay? And no, listen, we must go clean our sin, confess to the Lord. By the way, anytime I teach about prayer, anytime I preach about prayer, I must always mention this exact specific thing. Because, Christian, it's so true. All right, because the Bible has a lot to say about that. Here's some verses. Notice Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Hey, the problem's not with God. Here's the problem. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Let me just say this. You will never get your prayers answered if you don't live a clean, pure life. Now, did I say perfect? Absolutely not. Because if that was the case, not one single human being would get their prayers answered. Because all of us sin, don't we? Amen? All right, let me just remind us. Hey, we're sinners. Amen? All right. Hey, I sinned today. So did you. All right. I sinned this week. So did you. All right. We're sinners. Okay? And the prerequisite for God hearing us is not perfection. But you know what it is? It's being clean. It's being clean. You got to go to the Lord clean. David said it like this in Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I hope you prayed that prayer this morning. God, search me. Try me. Know me. See if there's anything wicked inside of me, God. And clean me. Listen, hey, aren't you glad you don't have to go to a little confessional booth with a man dressed in a dress with a little penguin collar on to get your sins confessed? Amen. Hey, we're not Catholics, amen? Okay? We don't confess our sins to man. Do you know why? Because Jesus is our great high priest. that's gone to the heavenlies. It's His blood that was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And He has now made us kings and priests to be with Him. Hey, I'm a priest this morning. Amen? I can go to God on my own behalf. I don't need to go through another human being. All right? Listen, go to God and get clean. Get clean. By the way, God already knows about your sin anyway. He already knows. You're not hiding it from Him. But God wants us to know about our sin. He wants us to get to the point where we can confess our sin to Him. Here's the verse. By the way, I use this verse a lot. Yes, I do. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Did you hear that verse? If we confess our sin. If. Okay? That means you've got to do your part if you want God to do His part. If we confess our sin. By the way, Christian, let me say this. Don't let there be a long amount of time before you confess your sin to God. I mean, you ought to have a time of daily confession. Daily confession. And sometimes, not just once a day, multiple times a day. You do wrong, listen, you know what God wants? Confess it to me. Confess it to me. If we confess our sin, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Listen, God can handle it, okay? Whatever's going on in your life, whatever thing you may have found yourself involved in, hey, listen, God can handle it. Confess it to Him. Get yourself clean so that your prayers can be answered. Okay, so, hey, if you're going to get an effective secret to a prayer, number one, go believing. Number two, go clean. Number three, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Now, I have a problem, okay, with people when they pray and they don't somewhere in their prayer let God know they're coming in the name of Jesus. I got a problem with that. Okay? I don't like this praying that just ends with amen. And never said, in Jesus' name, or Jesus, I'm asking these things for you, for your sake, and for your name. Listen, every prayer, if you want an answer, ought to be in Jesus' name. Let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because He said this. Listen to what Christ said. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Did you hear that? Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why would you not want to pray in the name of Jesus? I mean, why would you not want to? Okay? Pray in the name of Jesus. Listen, multiple times, remind God, Lord, I'm coming to you not because of who I am, but because of what Christ has done for me. Through His blood I come to you. Through the name of your precious Son I come to you, God. Listen, that's how you ought to pray. Several times call out the name of Christ when you pray. Here's what Jesus said in John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Is that what Jesus said? Listen, I mean, that right there to me is one of the great secrets to prayer. Jesus, these things I'm asking in your name. And there's many verses I could give you about this, and on and on. So make sure, Christian, when you're praying, it's through Jesus' name. Amen? By the way, we have no access to the Father except it were through Jesus Christ's Son. No access whatsoever. Okay? And so go within Jesus' name. Listen, there is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there is. There's just something about that name. Hey, you want to go someplace and make people nervous? Start saying the name Jesus out loud. You'll find out real quick. You'll start making people real nervous. You know what else I found makes people nervous? Is when you carry a Bible with you. You want to make people just real jittery and real just don't know what to do? Use the name Jesus Christ and carry a King James Bible with you where you go. And people will be real nervous. Okay? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. I mean, do you realize that it was through Christ and His shed blood that caused that great veil in the temple to rip? We had this conversation this week when we were eating supper one night with the kids, and we all were getting all kinds of crazy topics. I don't even know how we got to it. But we were talking about that Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, and how that great veil separated the fact that God's presence was in that Holy of Holies on that Ark of the Covenant. And there was a great veil that separated man and God. And man, back in the Old Testament, up until the day Jesus Christ died, did not have direct access to God, the Father. But the day that Jesus died, many things happened when He died. Many things happened when He said, "It is finished." You ought to read through the Bible, read through the Gospels and see what happened. One of the things that happened that day was that great veil was rent in two. By the way, they tell us that thing was anywhere from 12 to 18 inches thick. No way a man could have done that. No way. But when Christ died, He bridged the gap between us as human beings and to the Father, and the veil was rent. And now, praise God, we have direct access to the throne of God. Why would we not want to access that? Why would we not? I love the verse in Hebrews that tells us to boldly come to the throne of grace. Now listen, it doesn't say come arrogantly, it doesn't say come proudly, but it does say we can come boldly, amen? Why would we as Christians not want to access a wonderful avenue of direct access to God Almighty? I mean, the same God, when you looked out this morning and saw that beautiful sunrise, who spoke that into existence. The stars, when you looked out in the last few nights and saw those beautiful stars in the sky, the one who had just in a few simple words put those stars there is the same one that wants to have a personal relationship with you. Amen. But yeah, but we never access that. Okay, it just blows my mind. Why as Christians, we can't figure out this thing called prayer, all right? So, if you want to have an effective prayer life, number one, you got to go believing. Number two, you got to go clean. Number three, you got to go in Jesus' name. Number four, go filled with the Scripture. Go filled with the Scripture. Hey, remind God of what He says in His Word. God wants to hear us. God wants to hear us remind Him what He said. You say, well, He knows what He said. Yes, He does. But once again, He wants us to know what He said. Let me tell you a verse that I probably pray more than any verse. It's the verse Jeremiah 33:3. I learned this verse when I was just an elementary student, thanks to Mrs. Bovenshin, who was my teacher, Miss Eichelman at the time. And she taught us this song, and this has never left me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Now, God's the one that said that, okay? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Hey, God doesn't just say, I want to show you some things. That's not what He said. He didn't say, hey, I just want to show you some great things. That's not what He said. He said, I want to show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not, but you got to call unto me. You got to call unto me. Listen, that promise is written in the Word of God. I remember one particular time when I was pouring my heart out in prayer to God, and I was like, God, and maybe I was wrong in doing this, okay? I was a teenager, and I was pretty dumb back then, all right? And sometimes still pretty dumb, but hopefully I've learned a few things, all right? And but I remember one time praying that, okay? And I was like, God, You said if I would call on You would answer me. And God, if You don't do that, God, then You're a liar, God. And probably I probably been a little too arrogant, but you know what? Everything I prayed about, God answered. He did. You know why? Because I just believe when God says, call on me and I will answer thee, that He'll show me great and mighty things that I know not. And that's exactly, trust me, Christian or church, when I've been praying about this property situation, I use that verse quite often to God and remind Him about the great and mighty things I'm going to see Him do. Go filled with the Scripture. Jesus said this in John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Did you hear what He said? You abide in me, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Listen, it's important that we go, not just with the other things we talked about, but filled with the Scripture. You're starting to understand how that the Bible and prayer, everything just works hand in hand with God. I mean, go filled with Scripture. I mean, as you're praying, remind God of what the... God, listen, You said this in Your Word, God, and You made this promise to me. Now, God, You're bound to Your Word. And God, if You're bound to Your Word, then God, I need You to show up and I need You to do something great and mighty for me, God. Please do this for me, God. Listen, that's how you pray, amen? That's how you get your prayers answered. Go filled with the Scripture. Number five, go with a pure motive. Go with a pure motive. Notice what He says in James chapter 4. Go and turn over there. Let's look at this. James chapter 4. Because this is where a lot of Christians kind of fall off. Okay? It's like, well, some people may say, well, I prayed for this and God never answered. Well, first of all, you gotta see if you're doing what you gotta do right. Okay? I mean, listen, understand this. God's not a genie in a bottle. Okay? All right. God's not here to do whatever a little beck and call is. That's not who He is. Okay? And in fact, as we see here, and we're gonna talk about in these last few points, is the fact that, listen, you got to make sure what you're praying about is something that God wants to happen. Okay? It's not, well, God, give me $1 million, Lord. I just want $1 million. God, you said you have to give. If I ask in your name, you got to give it to me, Lord. Well, listen, God's not like that. Okay? We don't order God around. Okay? And I'm going to show you in these last few points the motive for prayer. Okay? It's so important. Go with the pure motive. James chapter 4, you're there. Let's look at verse 2 and 4. 2 through 4. Listen to what he says. You lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Okay, so there's the first thing. God says, listen, you got these things, these needs in your life. You got these desires in your life. You're doing everything you can except asking me for it. Okay, so there's our invitation to ask. But notice what it says in the next verse. Notice here. Ye ask and receive not. Now wait a minute, God. You said if I ask, you give it to me. Well, let's see why you receive not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And there is a huge secret to prayer right there. Selfish, carnal requests are never respected or answered by God. Never. I mean, hey, if you're going to be on praying ground, then listen, you must choose a friendship with God over a friendship with the world. Our motive in asking should be pure and selfless. It's kind of like this, okay? I'll use this illustration. Let's say that I'm trying to do something for my wife, okay? Maybe I want my wife to make me my favorite supper or whatever, okay? And so I asked her, I said, hey, will you do this for me? But yet, the whole previous prior week, you know, I treated her like dirt. I never talked to her. I never spoke to her. And anytime I did, it was mean and harsh. I mean, do you think she's going to want to do what I've asked of her? Now, she's a good wife. She would probably do it. Actually, she probably wouldn't do it. No, I'm just kidding. She probably would do it. She's a good wife, all right? If I asked her to do something for me, she would probably do it. But you know what? How silly would it be for me to expect her to do something when I haven't treated her properly? And listen, that's the same way it is with God. Remember, we're talking about here a relationship with God. And let me tell you, a relationship is a two-way street. Okay? If you want to have a good relationship with somebody, you both have to do things to have a good relationship. Now, we're not talking about love. All right? When we love people, have agape love, we love them no matter what they do to us. But I'm talking about a good, close relationship. I mean, hey, you will not have a good, close relationship to your spouse if it's one direction. Absolutely not. You know what makes a good relationship? Two people are involved all the way in that relationship. And so it is with our relationship with God. You expect God to answer your prayer, but yet notice what He says here. You know what? You're an adulterer and you're adulteress. You're a friend of the world. You're living a worldly, carnal life, yet expect God to want to answer your prayer. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you got to build that relationship with God. Let me tell you a great motivation in your Christian life to be clean and pure and right and to not backslide so you can get your prayers answered. Great motivation. Let me just say this. Backslidden carnal Christians do not get their prayers answered. They do not. Okay? Because you got to go with a pure motive. You don't ask God for things so you can consume it upon your lust. It's not about what we want. It's about what He wants. All right? And that'll lead into our next point. By the way, let me say this. Here's what D.L. Moody said about prayer. I love this quote. This is an amazing quote. He said this, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught His disciples how to preach, but only how to pray." That was a good quote. Because here's the thing. So many times we're concerned about being a good this and being a good that. Well, you know what I found out in life? If you'll be the things God has commanded you to be, that He says specifically to be, then everything else will fall into place. Hey, you know how I can be a good husband, a good father, a good everything that I'm trying to be? You know how it is? Have a good prayer life. Because everything stems from that. Okay? So we're talking about here secrets to effective prayer. All right? Here's the next one. Go willing to obey. Go willing to obey. Listen to this verse here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. Notice what he says. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. This kind of goes hand in hand with the motive thing. Listen, God reserves special blessing for obedient children. Now, does God love everybody the same? Yes, He does. God's love has the ground equal to the cross. God doesn't have more love for one individual than He does for another individual. But does God bless everyone the same? No. No. Blessing is not dependent upon God. It's dependent upon us. Whether or not we choose to obey God. Okay? And so listen. If you want your prayer answered, you've got to be willing to obey the things God wants you to do. You got to obey the Scripture that you know is right to do. I mean, hey, listen, let me just say this, okay? If you're not actively involved in trying to reach people for Christ, you're probably not going to get many of your prayers answered. Because that is a command, an undeniable command of the Scripture, that we're part of the Great Commission, that we're part of trying to get the Gospel out. And if you're not actively involved in that somehow, okay? Now, that may not be the same time for everybody. Okay? We all got different schedules. But God commands all of us as Christians to be involved in the Great Commission. And if we're disobedient in that, what makes us think that God wants to answer our prayers? We must be obedient Christians. Okay? And once again, remember how I just said that a great motivation for wanting to get your prayers answered is to live the right kind of life? Absolutely. That's a great motivation for trying to live how God wants to live. So He'll hear and answer our prayers. Okay? So be willing to obey. Alright, wait. When the preacher preaches something, and you may not necessarily like it, but he points it from the Word of God and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Okay? Instead of copping an attitude and getting mad at the preacher, wants you to decide, hey, if God said it, I'm going to obey it. And I'm going to tell you, that's a good way to live your life so that you can be on praying ground. Be on praying ground. Okay? And then what else? Alright? What else is effective for a good prayer life? Is this. Number 7. Go seeking the will of the Lord. This is so important. This is kind of like the capstone of prayer right here. Okay? This sums it all up. Go seeking the will of God. Okay? I mean, is your prayer something like this? Dear God, I want above everything for Your will to be done. Not my will, but Your will. By the way, doesn't that sound familiar? Who prayed that prayer? You know who prayed that prayer? Jesus Christ prayed that prayer. I mean, hey, when Jesus was in that garden, okay, and the weight of what was about to happen to Him was bearing down on Him, and He realized it, and it came full circle to Him that He was going to be separated from the Father and become sin, and that special relationship He had with God was going to be severed so He could pay our sin debt for us. He said, "Father, if there's any way for this cup to pass from Me, let it pass. But nevertheless, not as I will, but Thy will be done." And you know what Jesus Christ said? God, I don't want to be separated from You. If there's any other way to do this, let's do it. But God, if not, I choose Your will above anything else. And listen, Christians, that must be the trump card with everything we pray about. Anything I pray at the very end of it, I will say this. God, now I feel like this is what You would have for us. And by faith, I believe it. But God, if it's not Your will, God, I want Your will, not my will. I pray that every time I pray. Because that's what God expects. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And that is why I have the confidence of knowing that we're going to get down there and get this church built. You know why? Because it's the will of God to go down there and reach souls for Christ. That's His will. I know it's His will. I know God called me to do that specific work. I know that's His will for my life. So since I know that those things are His will, I have the confidence because of that, He's going to answer my prayer because it's according to His will. Now, can I sit here and tell you this morning that this particular piece of property that I'm looking at is His will? No. I pray that it's will. I really feel like it's His will. But you know what I prayed to God? I prayed this morning, "Lord, if this property is not Your will, so be it. But lead me to the peace that is Your will." Because you know what, guys? When we took our first trip down in April and looked at property, I mean, we found one particular piece that we got excited about. And we thought this would be the will of God. And we prayed and prayed and prayed for that. And you know what? It wasn't the will of God. And we thought, man, this is it. This is going to be perfect. And God's like, nope, not my will. And so instead of giving up, instead of getting discouraged, what we do, we keep seeking. We keep searching. And if we have time, we won't have time today, but next week I'm going to give you a three-letter acronym that we find, A-S-K, ASK, and talk about that asking and seeking and knocking. But listen, we got to keep going at it. We can't stop. We got to have importunity and keep going. But listen, it's all about the will of God. That's what it's about. It's not about what I want. It's about what He wants. And if you'll begin to pray that way, you will be amazed to see that the things you begin to pray for, God will do for you. Okay? Luke chapter 22. Maria, let me read these two verses for you. And when Jesus, was at the place, He said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. This is the exact situation I just told you about Him in the garden, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And if Jesus Christ Himself prayed that, don't you think we probably ought to pray that? I mean, He's the one that was the ultimate example for us. Even Jesus qualified His prayer with it, if it be the will of God. So, Christian, listen. Make sure what you're praying for is the will of God. And if you don't know if it's the will of God, it's okay. Pray for it. But I will qualify your prayer by saying, God, this is what I think You want. I'm not quite for sure yet. But God, if it's not Your will, then show me what is Your will. And I promise you, God will show you what His will is. As I told you before, the will of God is not some enigma, okay? It's not a big mystery. He doesn't make us, you know, try to spend our whole life seeking and searching for His will. He wants to reveal His will to you. By the way, let me tell you, the will of God really is revealed in the Scripture. Now, God will have to reveal specifics to you, but what we're supposed to be doing is revealed to us in Scripture. Okay? So make sure you qualify every prayer with Thy will be done. All right, now, let me just say this in closing. Prayer does change things. Yes, it does. Prayer changes things. I mean, proper prayer is essential to a healthy and productive relationship with God. Yes, it is. I mean, you can't say you have a relationship with God if you don't have a good prayer life. Because that is our access to God. Remember that cliche, this religious cliche that used to go around that said prayer changes things? I mean, it almost used it as a marketing campaign. It showed up on bumper stickers and billboards and bracelets and all kinds of stuff. But let me tell you what I've really found out about prayer. Okay? Prayer is not so much about me changing the mind of God. But you know what I found out? When I pray, you know what gets changed? I get changed. It's not so much me changing God. It's when I spend time with Him, He changes me. And to me, that's the most awesome part about being in the presence of God. It's not so much that, okay, God, I want this, and if it's not Your will, I need to change Your mind about it. No, you know what it is? It's the fact that when you spend time with God, Christian, it's just like Moses came down that mount, all right, where his face had the afterglow of the glory of God. Now, your face may not physically shine, but I'll just say this. You know what? Your heart sure shines. When I've had an effective prayer time with God, I can explain to you, and yes, I'm going to use the word feel, how I feel inside. You know what it is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's how everything works, and it's just amazing. So let me challenge you, Christian. If you don't have much of a prayer life, get involved in prayer. It's an awesome, amazing thing that God gives us. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You so much for all You do for us, God. And I'm just so thrilled, Lord, that You would even want to have a relationship with us, an offer relationship with us, Lord. And thank You for that, God. Thank You for prayer, God. And thank You for our access that we have through You, Lord, through Christ. And now, Lord, bless our service to follow. We sure are looking forward to the blessing that Brother Russ is going to be to us this morning. Bless him and help him and bless our service now in Jesus' name. Amen.